Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. You know, today is Good Friday. We're approaching the Easter season, and this is traditionally the day that Jesus was crucified. I have no idea of knowing if it is actually this time. I know it's around this time because of the Feast of Passover and things. But anyway, this is a day that Christians go back and remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And I tell you, everything hinges on that. What I've been teaching on about prayer is really hinged upon Jesus coming and becoming the sacrifice for us and then rising from the dead. And there is a total different way now to approach God than there was before the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You know, the average Christian, they would sit there and on Good Friday, they will sit here and talk about the crucifixion of Jesus, but not get the full impact of what it did. And especially in this area of prayer, this teaching I've got entitled A Better Way to Pray, this is an area that just really highlights the differences between the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, people begged and pled with God for His mercy and not to pour out His wrath. And sadly, a lot of New Testament Christians are doing the exact same thing today, not understanding that Jesus has reconciled us unto God, 2 Corinthians 5:19. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He became sin for us and made us the righteousness of God. And now nothing but goodness and grace from God is towards us. And yet the average Christian today is still having the mindset of the Old Testament God. Now, God Himself has never changed. He is the Lord. He changes not. But His dealings with mankind have changed because of Jesus. Jesus is the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. And today, we don't offer blood of bulls and of goats and of lambs and things like that because Jesus is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. You don't see Christians going out and offering blood sacrifices, but in many ways, they still are trying to obtain unto relationship with God through what they do. And they don't understand that Jesus has already purchased it. We don't have to do something to gain God's favor. And I've been focusing primarily on intercession, the way it was done in the Old Testament, and showing you that it is not done that way in the New Testament. If you pray the way Abraham did, the way that Moses did, the way that David did, interceding and begging for His mercy and begging Him to pour out His power and begging for these things, then you are like an Old Testament person. You are denying that Jesus has come and done this. You know, I'm going to say some things today that I guarantee you will get the ire of many people riled up, but it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you will receive it, this could really, really help you. But did you know that there are intercessors today who are believing that God is wrathful and that we've got to intercede and beg God for His mercy? And right here in Colorado Springs, there are people that I know that I've been associated with that they teach on intercession and pleading and begging, and they believe that unless we get thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to pray and intercede and turn God from His wrath, that America is doomed. They believe, you know, there's this deal about the 1040 window, talking about between 10 and 40 degrees latitude or longitude. I'm sorry, I don't know the difference between the two. But anyway, that 1040 window, that's where most of the Muslim world is. And this is where there are demonic strongholds. And there's a man here in Colorado Springs who actually took people, I don't know how many, but there was tens of thousands of people that gathered in Ephesus. And what they did was they went over there to pray and to break the influence of the goddess of Diana of the Ephesians. And they believed that this was the demonic stronghold that caused so much paganism, so all of the Islam and the radical stuff. And they've been praying and interceding. There's a bunch of things I'm going to say about this, but first of all, let me just say, how has that worked out? They claim that they are making all of this difference. Has Islam and the radical Islam and the terrorist and all of this stuff, have things improved with all of their intercession? No. Matter of fact, all of this was done prior to 9/11. And since 9/11, we've seen the rise of radical Islam. We've seen terrorists. We've seen people bombed and killed and people beheaded all around the world, even children. I'm telling you, that form of intercession is useless. It is not working. And let me just say that they say that there is this spirit, goddess of Diana of the Ephesians. Let me ask you, how did Paul deal with that? What is the New Testament way to deal with this? Well, you can read about this in the book of Acts. And just for time's sake, I'm not going to turn over and read every one of these things. But let me just summarize some things. That in the book of Acts, when Paul went to Ephesians, people were worshiping Diana of the Ephesians. And what did Paul do? There is not one example, zilch, nada, zero, none example of Paul getting intercessors together to pray and to break the demonic powers that were over Ephesus. He never did it. There is no example of Peter getting intercessors to pray and to do things. Now, there are examples of Peter when he was in prison, people gathering together and pray. I'm not saying that we don't pray. My next lesson next week is going to be talking about, after I've pulled the rug out from under people with all of these unscriptural ways of praying, I'm going to talk about what is the proper way of praying. And so please stick with me and come back and listen. But Paul never organized all of these intercessors. You know, I have people come to me all the time and say, who are your intercessors? I don't have any intercessors. Now, I've got people that pray for me and intercede, and hopefully they're doing it according to the New Testament model, but I don't pay people to intercede for me. I know that there's a lot of ministries that they feel like this is one of the greatest things that they do is to pay intercessors. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for me, and I'm in agreement with Him. And there's other people that lift me up, and I'm receiving that, but I do not have to have paid intercessors. Paul did not raise up intercessors. He didn't get the body together and pray, and let's break the spirit of Diana of the Ephesians. And yet, he was so effective that the people who were making money off of all of these little images of Diana and selling these things, they said, we're going to be totally put out of business if we don't do something. But Paul basically stamped out the effect of Diana of the Ephesians. Most people wouldn't have even heard of that demonic entity unless they read it in the book of Acts. But the New Testament intercessors in the 20th century and into the 21st century, they resurrected Diana of the Ephesians. They made her the demonic power that is affecting this 1040 window. And they went over there and got tens of thousands of people to intercede and to break the power of Diana of the Ephesians. That's not the way that Paul did it. You know how Paul did it? He preached the gospel. It's the truth that sets people free. And I know I'm going to really upset some people here, but it is not prayer that sets people free. It's the truth that sets people free. You can't find a scripture that talks about that prayer sets people free. Now, I believe that there is a place for prayer, and I'm going to be talking about this more next week. But prayer is primarily for your personal relationship with God, but there is times for you to intercede for other people. But the way you do it is not to sit there and go over and bind Diana of the Ephesians and ask God to pour out His Spirit and get 24-hour prayer and get 100,000 people praying. This same group of people, they would send people to these foreign lands, and they specifically told them, because I've known people who've done this, and they told me that their instructions were, do not preach the gospel. Do not witness to a single person. You just do prayer walks. And you walk by these temples and by these idols and you just pray in yourself, and they believe that this is going to break these demonic powers. It hasn't worked. It hasn't changed anything. Things have gotten worse. That's not the way you do it. That's not the way that Paul did it. The way you do it is to preach the gospel. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. It's the truth that sets people free. John chapter 8, verse 32. You've got to preach the truth. And to send, you know, people are spending millions of dollars. If you were to add all of this up corporately, there are millions of dollars going into people, going into these places just to sit there and pray. Man, give me millions of dollars and give me a television or a radio or a CD or something where I could preach the gospel or hold some meeting where we could get the truth to those people, and I would do more to change that area than all of your prayer and intercession. And I just can't believe I said that, because I know I'm going to get a huge backlash and criticism about this. I am for prayer, and there is a place to stand your ground and break these demonic powers, but it's not the way that intercessors are doing it. You will hear them give examples, and they'll talk. I've heard this before about San Francisco, that the reason San Francisco is such a hotbed for the homosexual movement is because there's demonic powers over that place. And so what you've got to do is bind these demonic powers and so that your prayers can get up to God. That is so silly. That is so silly. I know somebody, I can't believe you're saying that. You know, it's not like you need your prayers to get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayers to get above your nose. God lives on the inside of you. This is why you bow your head when you pray, so you can look at God and say, Father, amen. I'm telling you, this whole thing of getting your prayers past the demonic powers, you got to get a hole in the heavens so that your prayers can get up to God. That defies the New Testament realities of Christ in us, that He lives in us. That's just wrong. You don't have to do that. I believe that there are demonic powers over every place. I believe that San Francisco has a lot of demonic powers, and I believe many of them are associated with homosexuality. I believe homosexuality is demonic, and I believe that there is a lot of homosexual demonic activity in San Francisco. But it's not the demons that drew all of this or caused people to become homosexuals and a high percentage of it in San Francisco. You know what it is? It's the fact that there were people back decades ago who were homosexuals or pro-homosexual, and they started passing laws. They started giving benefit to the spouses of homosexuals, and they started making it homosexual friendly. And the homosexuals that were all over the nation were drawn to San Francisco because of the pro-homosexual bent there, and they drew these demons with them. So the way to stop this isn't to go up there and bind the demons, and you wouldn't dare say anything to anybody. You won't tell the people the truth about homosexuality because it's politically incorrect, and you will get hate mail, as I do, and you wouldn't dare say the truth. But what you'll do, you'll get out and walk in the neighborhood and just pray under your breath and believe that you're binding the demonic powers. It's not the demonic powers who are making all of this happen. The devil is involved. He's deceived people, but they are welcoming these demonic spirits. And as long as they are encouraging and embracing these wrong attitudes and these untruths and these lies and deceptions, those demonic powers are going to stay there because the people are empowering these demonic things. So what do? Do you bind the demonic powers? No, what you do is go in and preach the truth. And it's not totally a one or the other thing. I believe you go in and speak the truth, but at the same time, you pray and intercede. Father, I believe that this word is powerful. I believe it's driving off these demonic powers and stuff. But you preach the word, and it's the truth that sets people free. That's the way that the Apostle Paul dealt with all the paganism and the stuff that he encountered. There is not one single example of him getting the believers together to pray and to bind something and to do something. No, he just took his authority and he went in and preached the gospel and performed miracles and stood boldly and spoke to the Roman people that were in authority over him. And Paul shook the world. He turned the world right side up, not through intercession. Now again, I'm not saying he didn't pray. And I'm not saying he never took his authority and that he never spoke against demons, but he did not beg God to pour out His Spirit and then just passively sit by and not do anything. I tell you, Satan loves that. I believe Satan would love to get you in your prayer closet to where you spend hours a day begging God to do what He's already done. Satan loves that because it gets you off the street. I know people that they pray for their neighbors, they cry and plead for them to be saved, but you couldn't get them to go over and talk to them about the Lord because somebody might take offense. They might get persecuted. They might get rejected. And so they'll just spend hours praying and begging God to do something that you could do much more effectively if you just go over and sow the seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. The word seed there is spora. That is a derivative of the Greek word sperma, which is talking about sperm. In the same way that a baby, you don't get pregnant by praying. Now, if you've got sickness or something, you can pray and receive your healing, but you have to plant a seed. There has to be a sperm that impregnates a woman. I'm not going to totally teach on this. I'm going to take for granted that most people understand this, but hopefully you understand that even though you could pray and you could be healed, you can't get pregnant through prayer. You could get healed through prayer. I pray for lots of people that, you know, have not been able to have children, and I've literally got dozens or hundreds of people that have had children after I've prayed with them. But I'm not asking God and just begging God to please help these people become pregnant. I take my authority. I speak what the Word says, Deuteronomy chapter 7, that there's not one single barren among you or any that cast your young. I speak the blessing and I reverse the curse. But then after I get through praying with these people, I always tell the couples, I said, hey, I believe God has solved whatever problem there is that keeps you from getting pregnant. But this isn't going to be a virgin birth. You have a part to play. Now you go do your part. You act in faith, amen. And you know what? If a person just came to me and we prayed and begged God, but then you don't sow the seed, you aren't going to get pregnant. Likewise, for you to pray for God to save a person, but you wouldn't speak to him, you aren't going to share the Word of God. You are defying what it says in 1 Peter 1, 23, that we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. People aren't going to get saved through prayer. Now, prayer can be a part. Again, you praise God. You praise God that He loves them. You know, let me just tell you how I pray for a lost person. After I've taught on some of these, people have come to me and said, so how do you pray? I don't know how to pray anymore. I had one woman come to me and she says, I've been praying for my husband for 20 years and God hadn't answered my prayers. Maybe He'll answer yours. Would you pray for my husband? And I said, no, I won't pray for your husband, not the way you're praying. And it offended her at first. She says, what do you mean? I said, you are thinking that it's up to God whether your husband gets saved. And she said, well, yeah. And I said, it's not. He's already died for your husband's sins. He's already made the atonement. He is out trying to get the gospel to him. I said, it's not up to God whether your husband gets saved. Your husband is the one that's been rejected. Maybe he's ignorant. Maybe this woman was just praying for him and not sharing the truth. Maybe she was a bad example. Maybe he thought, if that's Christianity, I don't want it. I don't know all the reasons that her husband was the way he was, but I said, your whole approach is God hasn't answered my prayer. If God wanted to, He'd just save my husband. No, the Lord has done everything to save your husband or whoever it is that you're praying for that He can and will do. It's not up to God whether people get saved. So how do you pray for people's salvation? Here's the way that I pray. I start by just saying, Father, thank you that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. So, Father, thank you that Jesus is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Thank you, Father, that you've already made the payment. It's done. It's not you that we're waiting on. But now this person, and if I'm praying for a person, I'll put their name in there. This person, for whatever reason, has not received what you've already done. So then I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, which says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, and they should believe and be converted. And so I say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, your blindness, whatever it is that you're doing to stop this person from receiving the gospel, I break your dominion. I enforce what Jesus has done. You are a defeated foe. And in the name of Jesus, I command this blindness to be gone now in the name of Jesus. And then I'll pray Matthew 9:38. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. And so I'll say, Father, I release laborers right now. If this person is in a bar, if this person is, you know, at work somewhere, doing whatever, I believe that Spirit-filled believers, people that know the Word of God and that can preach the true gospel, are coming across their path right now. And then I'll also pray John chapter 14, verse 26, that says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, when He is come, He will teach you all things, lead you into all truth, and bring all things to your remembrance. And I'll say, Holy Spirit, I believe that You are bringing back to their remembrance truths that You've shared with them. You know, many of the people you're praying for, they were taught in Sunday school, they learned scriptures, or they've heard somebody on television or radio, or something has happened in their life and they've just walked away from it and forgotten it. But one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring back to our remembrance whatsoever Jesus has spoken to us. So I'll pray and say, Father, bring back to their remembrance scriptures. Show them how You love them. If they've ever had a sensitivity to You, bring them back to that. Remind them. And see, this is the way I pray for them. And then John 20, 23, you can remit people's sins. It doesn't mean that you can forgive their sins. Only God can forgive their sins, which He's already done. But the word remit is dealing with the effects that sin has on them. Hebrews chapter 3 says, Sin hardens your heart and blinds you. And so I'll say, Father, they are giving place to the devil. They aren't seeking You. They aren't sensitive to You. But I remit their sins and believe that this hardness of heart is broken. And see, all of these things, I'm not pleading with God to love them like this woman I started talking about where God hasn't answered my prayers. God answered your prayers before your husband even existed. He sent His Son and died. And the Holy Spirit is out there convicting and drawing all that will receive Him. It is not God who hasn't moved to save people. It's people who've rejected it, and many times there's demonic things involved. Their heart has become hardened, so you rebuke the God of this world. You pray laborers across their path because the seed's got to be sown. If you are available, you become a laborer. I personally would not pray that God sends somebody across a person's path that I'm praying for if I'm not willing to go. I would say, Father, here am I. Give me an opportunity to share the Word with this person. But if they're far away or if they won't listen to You, which sometimes that happens and people take an offense, well, then pray labors across their path. Break the deception, the hardness of heart. Remit the sins and the effects that that's caused in their life. And then you just begin to thank God that, Father, thank You. You are dealing with this person. Thank You that You love them more than I do, that You want them saved more than I do. Thank You that it's not just on my shoulders that I've got to get them saved through my intercession. Thank You that Jesus loves them, and I'm just standing here and cooperating with Jesus. And see, this takes the burden and the dread and the sadness out of intercession. You aren't begging and pleading with God and bearing their sins. Jesus has already borne their sins. He's already died for them. All you're doing is standing there and letting this love and compassion and authority of God flow through you.
Thank you, friends and partners. Your investment in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College continues to make disciples worldwide. Meet Melody Cope.
Before I came to Charis, I still loved Jesus. I was in ministry. I was leading small groups, but I didn't see fruit. I saw women and I felt like every once in a while I was changing their lives and affecting them, but not on the same scale that I am now. Charis Bible College has equipped me to be effective in ministering to people. It has grown me from a little tadpole to someone who actually loves people and knows how to minister to them effectively. During my second year at Charis, I was able to go on a 2-week mission trip to Germany. I began to develop what God has placed in my heart concerning evangelism and loving people. I desire to go and start different groups in different countries and go out and evangelize and bring people in and disciple them. I can't wait to see what God does next.
Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years. Go to charisbiblecollege.org for more information.
I'd like to give you an invitation if you are able to come to be with us at our facility in Woodland Park, Colorado. I've named it The Sanctuary. And on April the 3rd, we're going to have a Good Friday service. And then on April the 5th, Sunday morning, we're going to have a sunrise service. The Good Friday service will start at 7 o'clock. The sunrise service will also be 7, but it's 7 a.m. And I tell you, last year we just had an awesome time. We had people with us, some of the greatest praise and worship people from around the world were there, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I'd like to give you an invitation to join me to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on April the 3rd and 5th, Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled A Better Way to Pray was recorded live and is available on CD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available in book form in either English or Spanish for a gift of any amount. It's also available in a brand new companion study guide that's perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies of the outlines and scriptures as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Don't Limit God for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. Our helpline is closed today to allow our employees to celebrate the holiday. But you can always visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer, you can order materials by writing us. Use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of April, he'll be at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park, Colorado for a Good Friday celebration and an Easter sunrise service. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida and in Washington, D.C. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Plymouth and Telford, England, and in Łódź, Poland. And in June, he'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado for the Karis Bible College Business Conference in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Ypsilanti, Michigan, Toronto, Ontario, and then again in Woodland Park for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.